John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 18. John 18, read verse 1 with me. When Jesus had spoken these words, his high priestly prayer, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. He crossed a brook, went into a garden, he and his disciples. Many ways we know this is God's word, many ways. The wisdom of it, power of it, life-giving power of God. God gives life by his word, and I receive life by this word. Let there be light. The power of it, the glory of it. Oh, it's glorious, God's word. The glory of it, the wisdom of it. Oh, my, the wonder of it. The wonder of it. The message of it. It's all Christ, isn't it? Rivers of blood from start to finish. Christ crucified. The complexity of it, meaning it's intricately connected. It's complex means many things that are connected for one thing, in one thing. Nothing is written for mere information. All things bear witness of Christ. Everything written in the Word bears witness of Christ. All points to Him. Everything that's written says, this is Christ. Every step He took, everywhere He went, nothing is written for information. He brings up this brook. Why? Just tell you where He is at that time? No. It all bears witness of Christ. The first mention of this brook, go with me to 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15. And as said, it's God's people, brothers and sisters, there's so few people that hear these things, that know these things. And this ought to make your heart leap. When God shows us pictures of Christ, when God shows us Christ in His Word that He hides from the wise and the prudent and reveals unto us, we ought to thank Him in the high heaven. Thank you, Lord. It's all Christ, you see. And He keeps showing His people, Christ, Christ, Christ. See, He's there. See, He's here. The world says, He's there. He said, no, He's here. He's in His garden with His people at the brook. 2 Samuel 15, David, Absalom made a conspiracy. He made a conspiracy against Christ. What are they coming to get Christ for? It's a conspiracy. Absalom made a conspiracy against David. David. He was coming to get him. And look at it. 2 Samuel 15, verse 19. The king said to Attai, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with? Are you coming with us? See, David is leaving. He left Jerusalem. He left his throne, Brother Kelly. To go down, and eventually he's going to get in the cave. And this fellow Atea said, I want to go too. And he said, no, return to your place. Abide with the king there. That king, Absalom. Thou art a stranger and exile. Verse 20. Wherefore thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Meaning, you're young, you're new. Go on back. Go back. See, and I go whither I may. Return thou, take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. Atea answered the king and says, as the Lord liveth, as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, that's where I'm going to be. That there also will thy servant be. I'm coming with you, wherever you go. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai and Gittai passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. It was a time of sadness, weeping. His people, David's people, were weeping. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. Passed over what? The brook Kedron, Cedron. The brook Kedron. And all the people passed over. David's people. They all passed over that. Why? Where were they going? Following David. Did David, David, who wrote Psalm 110, verse 7, he'll drink of the brook, by the way. I lift up the head. That's the brook he's talking about. Did David go down and drink from this brook to refresh himself? I believe he did. And then he went. Did our Lord, passing over the brook Kidron, bend down and drink out of that brook? Did he? But I tell you, a brook that our Lord did drink, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. He drank of that brook and drank it dry. And all of God's people should pass over that way. They'll cross over. You know the second mention of the brook Kidron? Josiah. Josiah took all the idols of all the people and ground them to powder and threw them in the brook Kidron and said, now drink it. And then Hezekiah did the same thing. Nothing's written for information. It all points to Christ, he said. He's the son of David, against whom this great conspiracy was and now is. The book Kedron in the Old Testament, it is Kidron, K-I-D-R-O-N. The book Kidron means dark and dusky and ashen. And one of the writers said it implies mourning and sackcloth and ashes. It's a sad place. And this brook Kidron dissected all of Israel. You understand? Listen to it. This brook Kidron separated the temple of Israel where all the enemies of Christ were. And on the other side of that brook were the friends of Jesus Christ. And this gospel separates the whole world. She played Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. The gospel of God's mercy and grace that comes to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, a river flowing. The river is of mercy. Dissects and separates this whole world. It's like a line drawn in the sand. This river. God put this river, or this brook, John, that separated. You had to cross over. To leave the enemies of Christ, you had to cross over this brook. Christ took his disciples and they crossed that river. Where did they go? Into the wilderness. In the wilderness. A mount. A mount. Mount of Olives. Verse 1 says he's with his disciples. I hope that you entered into what I just said, because that brook is very significant. Very significant. The gospel. God's mercy and God's grace is what separates his people from the world. And he went with his disciples. Notice that? He went forth with his disciples. He entered into this garden and his disciples. Where would you find the Lord Jesus Christ? If you were looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you find it? Well, look at verse 2. Judas knew the place. Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Go with me to the Song of Solomon. Find the Song of Solomon with him. The Lord often resorted to this garden of Gethsemane. Song of Solomon chapter 1. If you seek the Lord, listen to me, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him. You know where you'll find Him? In His garden. Always. He's with His disciples. That's where He went. The Mount of Olives. Olive press. Representative of Christ crucified. Mount Zion that preaches Christ crucified. That's where you'll find Jesus Christ. If you're looking for Him, that's where you'll find Him. Every time. John, always, at all times, where two or three are gathered, that's where, what? I am. That's what He said. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I. I am. Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 7. This woman was seeking the Beloved. She says, "Tell me, O thou whom My soul loveth, where thou feedest with thy flock. Where can I find you?" Chapter 5. Go over there. Chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "I am come into My garden, My sister, My spouse. I've got myrrh. I've got honeycomb with My honey. I've drunk My wine with My milk, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wine, blood, Christ crucified, milk, honey," that's the word of God. "The river of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God is in His church." How many messages have you heard? It just keeps flowing, doesn't it? The blood keeps flowing. The grace and the mercy of God keeps flowing. Just keeps coming. Word after word, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept. This river keeps flowing. The water of life never quits flowing from that rock that was smitten. Aren't we blessed? Where is He? He's in His garden. Chapter 6, verse 1. "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest of women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him?" And they said, "My beloved has gone down into his garden." What's he doing? "To the beds of spices." That's where he rests, a bed. "To feed in the garden, to gather lilies." Oh, "I'm my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." He's the lily of the valley, and he's the bright morning star. Where will you find him? In his garden. Go back to John. I don't want to lose you. This is too great. John chapter 18, verse 1. Everything is significant. Everything points to Jesus Christ. He's with his people. He's in his garden. That's where you'll find him. Judas knew the place. Judas' name is mentioned 22 times. Do you know anything about Bartholomew? Anybody? He's an apostle. His name is mentioned one time. You know anything about Thaddeus? He's an apostle. His name is mentioned one time. Judas' name is mentioned 22 times. Why? He'd been in this garden a lot. He'd been with the Lord in that garden many times. One of the old writers said, "Judas heard every word Jesus Christ said." He went into that garden. And brother, he went back. He crossed that brook, but he went back. He crossed the line. He crossed the line now. And next time he comes back, he's betrayed the Lord. Everything's significant. 22 times. 22 times. You know, his disciples were always with him. That's where they wanted to be. If you wanted to look, find the Lord, you'd find him in that garden with his people. And the beloved in Song of Solomon said, "Where is my beloved?" And she found him, and she said, "That's where I want to be." And you remember the story of Ruth? Huh? You remember she said, "Where you die, I'll die. Where you Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. She followed him everywhere. She wanted to be with him where he was. That's Ruth. That's this man named Attiah. And that's all of God's people. All of God's people want to be with Christ where he is. Is it the Lord you seek truly? There's some people coming to seek him. There's some people coming and to seek him. But his disciples were with him. They had sought him and they'd found him and they never left. Is it truly the Lord you seek and love? If it is, that's where you'll be. And you'll never leave. Never leave. Judas knew the place. And it, Judas is a clarion cry to all of us. Hebrews 3 talks about today's a day of salvation. Hebrews 3 says this, take heed, brethren, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, like Judas. Thomas, one time he wasn't with them. One time he wasn't with them. Wasn't the Lord merciful, Thomas? He wished he had never left him that time. Well, verse 3 of our text, John 18, verse 3. It says, Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. He received a band of, who were these men? Chief priests and Pharisees. He received, meaning he went and collaborated with and spoke with and became united with these men that hated Jesus Christ. How? He went and sided up with them and had supper with them and they were laughing and drinking, having a good time. These men hated Jesus Christ. They were out to kill him. Judas was right there with them. How? Somebody tell me. He received them. That's inconceivable to me. He did. After hearing the truth, after seeing Christ's glory and seeing all those things, the mercy of Christ, and to unite with those who dishonor our Lord. And how? That's what Paul said. How can light have fellowship with darkness? How? How can Christ and Baal get along? Can't do it. We've been laboring this point lately, haven't we? Why? Judas, 22 times. How could he go and mingle with these people who hated Jesus Christ? How? Would you tell me? Listen to David. David's a man after God's own heart. Don't you want to be like David? Listen to David in Psalm 26. Listen to this. He loved the Lord and he hated every false way. He said in Psalm 26, he said this. David said this. I have not sat with vain persons. You're not going to catch me and God's with these God haters and sitting around with them. He said, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I'm not going to spend my time with them. He said, I've loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. That's where you'll find me, David said. And he said in verse 12, my foot stands in an even place, a straight place, a wonderful place, a narrow place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. That's where you're going to find me, with God's people. You won't find me mingling with. My companions, David said, are them that fear the Lord. How can two walk together? He said to the degree. How? Can't. Only one way. Don't say a thing about the Lord. Don't say a thing about this name. John, don't bring up this name now. Simon Peter said,
How can I not? That's my husband. It's my life. I can't be silent. I can't mingle with those who hate him. They came with lanterns and torches and weapons. It was dark. There's no mention, Brother Kelly, that the disciples had any torches or lanterns. They were in the dark. Well, how could they see? True story. Israel in Egypt, it said God, right before he killed the firstborn, he sent darkness in the land. Darkness so thick that it can be felt and nobody can see one another. Egypt couldn't see each other. And we'll get to that later. But darkness over the land, it could be felt. Do you feel the darkness in this world? Do you feel the darkness in this world? It's a dark place, isn't it? But it says the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They had light. What's the light of God's people? Jesus Christ. His word. A lamp under my feet, a light under my path. They had light. Well, these enemies came with torches, lanterns, and weapons. They came with swords and staves, sticks, rods. They came with weapons. They brought their swords against the sword of God. You know what it says about Jesus Christ? He's the sword of God. And he's going to smite with the sword. Where does it come from? Out of his mouth. That's what it said. They came against the sword. Came against God with swords. Well, no weapon formed against him will prosper. How foolish is man to fight against God? Huh? They came with weapons. Later, a little while later, Simon Peter took out his sword. He meant well. He was defending. He wasn't with these Christ haters. Simon Peter wasn't, was it? Where is he? He's in the garden with his Lord. And when they came to dishonor our Lord and apprehend our Lord, Simon Peter took his sword out. He wanted to kill them all. To defend his Lord. He's going to stand up in defense of his Lord. He took that sword out. And our Lord said this, and I think it's Luke's gospel. He said, put up your sword. He said, don't you know? I could ask the Father right now, and he would send 10 legions of angels. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone. You put up your sword. They couldn't have taken him. They couldn't have slain him. They couldn't have apprehended him. No man takes his life from him. He came to this garden, Brother John, on purpose, for a meeting. He came to this garden to meet with his disciples first, to bless them, to cheer them, to pray for them, but also to meet the foe, to be apprehended. He was delivered. God, this is where God's going to deliver him up, his people. We don't have the account. John doesn't give the account of our Lord sweating blood. Right after his high priestly prayer, he took 3 of them and went into another place and said, watch, watch. And he went in and sweat blood. And he came out with confidence, his face set like a flint. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. How does he know everything? He went into this garden on purpose, ordained before the foundation of the world. The God, the Father, and the Son made a covenant in the Spirit and said, on such and such a date, you will go into this garden. And they will come after you and they will... And our Lord kept telling his disciples this day. They're going to take the Son of Man. They're going to spit on him. They're going to crucify him. Knowing all things. How does he know all things? Because he worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And this ought not Christ to suffer, he said, he must, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Knowing all things that should come upon him, and brethren, everything that comes upon us, Jesus Christ brings it. He said it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, they came for him. And verse 4, and he went out, as he always did, preached a message years ago on he went before them. He always was before them. He was always out in front of them. You see, dogs follow their master. Generals go out front, face the foe. He went before them. He's the forerunner. He go out before them. He went to face the foe. He went out to face the enemy by himself. He didn't say, "No, John, Jane, get your sword and come with me." Oh, no, he doesn't need them. Salvation is of the Lord. By himself, he went out in front of them. They're all going to run. He's not running. He's not running. Now look at this. I hope you're awake and I hope you're listening to this. This is glorious. Whom seek ye? And he looked them all in the eye. They can't hardly see him. They didn't know him from Thomas, from Simon, and Judas had to come and kiss him. Oh, the disciples knew who he was, even in the dark. Whom seek ye? And he looks into the face of every one of that mob that came seeking Jesus. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth. We're looking for Jesus." Judas, which betrayed him, stood with them, standing there with him. Jesus. Oh, how many people say they're seeking Jesus. They love Jesus. People got his name in their yards. Thank you, Jesus. All talk of Jesus. Many talk of Jesus. His enemies called him Jesus. The devils called him Jesus. We know who thou art, Jesus. You can't call him Lord, but by the Holy Spirit, can you? You know, when you hear the name of Jesus, you're supposed to say he's Lord. At the name of Jesus, you're supposed to hit your knee and call him with your mouth, Lord. Lord Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. Listen to what he said. He said, Jesus saith unto them, I am. Verse 6, as soon as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. They all hit the ground. They bowed, as it were, before the Lord Jesus. I am. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked his disciples. Whom do they say that I am? Whom do men say that Jesus is? Time magazine had on their cover years ago and just recently a picture of the Wild Bill Hickok, you know. They call him Jesus. Long haired Caucasian. And the title said, Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Men are still forced to acknowledge him, that he was here. And they're still wondering who he is. Still debating who he is. There's still as many opinions about him as there are people. Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus Christ. He said, I am. And they hit the ground. They hit the ground. Whom do men say that I am? And his disciples said, well, you're my Lamb. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my hope. You're my salvation. Thomas, who do you say that I am, Thomas? My Lord and my God. They came to Christ one time in John 8, and they said, Who are you? And he said, I told you. The same that I said unto you from the beginning. The same God on the mountain Mount Sinai is the same one in Mount Olivet, and the same one's going to be on Mount Calvary, and the same one that's going back to the right hand of the Majesty on high. God was manifest in the flesh. I am. Isaiah 25, one of my favorite scriptures, says this: in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, wine on the lees, well refined. He'll destroy in this mountain the face of the covering spread over all the people, the veil that spread over. He'll swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. The rebuke of my people He'll take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken it. And it will be said in that day, lo, this is our God. He will save us. This is the Lord, Jehovah. We've waited for Him. We'll be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. Well, He said He was the Son of God. He said, I am. What's that mean? He's all that God is. God made all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is this theology? Is it just necessary that you acknowledge the deity of Jesus? Is that it? If you acknowledge that, you're okay. Brothers and sisters, when you're saying that Jesus Christ is God, it means you're saying, my soul is in His hands. My future's in His hands. My family's in His hands. This world is in His hands. He's not standing outside hoping I'll let Him in. I'm standing outside hoping He'll let me in. When you say He's God, you're saying He reigns and rules among the armies of heaven and none can stay His hand. And I bow at His feet and I ask Him for mercy. Not He wants this, wants that, and hope you'll let me. No! This ain't doctrine, it's knowing God. This is life eternal, Christ said, that they might know the true God and Jesus Christ who He sent. Who is He? Jesus Christ is God. We'll never see God as long as we live. In heaven, we're not going to see God the Father. But we will see God. Who is He? Jesus Christ. And the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they all say He's the Son of God. But they don't mean He's God. And so their hope is not in Him. Their salvation is not in Him. Their life is not in His hands. They glory in what they've done and how they've made Him Lord. They all glory in how they let Him be Lord of their lives. Brethren and sisters, we glory in that He let us be His life. He let us in. I can't say it strongly enough. It's not doctrine. It's who God is. It's who Jesus Christ is. He didn't come down here to try to save people. He didn't come in this garden hoping nobody found Him. He didn't come in this garden hoping nobody find Him. He came there to be found. Delivered up by the Father. Why? For the transgression of my people was He stricken. Open up the windows. Take this message to the world. This ain't doctrine. This ain't a matter of what you believe. It's who you know. It's who you know. He said, I am. What are you? That I am. He's everything I need, John. He's all that I need. Name something that God is, and that's Jesus Christ. Name something we need, and that's Jesus Christ. I am that I am. All the enemies of the Lord will know who He is. It's salvation right now to know the I am. Do you? Why did He come? He came for His people. He came for the transgressions of His people, was He stricken. He came to take captivity captive. Look at this. Read on now. Verse 7, He asked them again, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. They still don't know Him. They fell to the ground and they still don't bow to Him. They still don't call on Him. They still don't know Him. Isaiah 1 says, why should He be stricken? He'll only rebel more and more. Why? The wrath of God every day. Who's calling on the Lord? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Judas, why wasn't Judas just trembling and shaking and renouncing and God took the spirit? He said, I told you that I am. Now look at this. See, this is why he came. He didn't have to come. Since God, they made a covenant to save a bunch of worthless sinners. A bunch of fishermen didn't know him, didn't care for him, didn't call on him, but God. And he came to save his people. And he said in verse 8, if you seek me, if therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He went out before them. Who's with me? He went out before them, brother. Right in front of them. Faced the whole enemy, the whole army. That whole band was come out against one man. That's my captain. That's my salvation right there. When David was going out to meet Goliath, all Israel was hoping, hoping, hoping. Their hope, their salvation, their captivity depended on that man. What happened? And so our Lord went out for them. If you seek me. See, John, God sent the law. It's a curse to us. So Christ came and he made a curse for us, didn't he? And the law, he had to be crucified by the law, didn't he? The law took him. The law apprehended him. He had to be made sin so the law of God and the wrath of God would fall on his head and not mine. John was talking about, I hit the top of my head and it's wounded. Good illustration. Where'd you get these wounds? There's one person in glory that's got scars. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Our head, our Lord, our head was wounded, wasn't it? Bloodied for us. He said, if you seek me, let these go. And Satan, God allowed Satan to enter into Judas and these evil men and come to apprehend him and bind him. We're going to look at that Wednesday, maybe. They bound him and like Samson. You with me? They bound him like Samson. That sword's not going to take him. And those bands aren't going to bind him. What did? If you seek me, let them go. The law of God, Satan, is our enemy, our adversary. Handwriting of ordinances against us. So Christ came, brother. He came and said, if you seek me, let John Davis go. The law says, I've come to apprehend him. No, Christ came and says, no, take me instead. The law says he's guilty. Christ said, no, he's not. I shed my blood for him. He's holy, unblameable, unreprovable in my sight. Satan, the adversary, is the accuser of the brethren. Say, but he's nothing but a sinner. No, no, Christ said, he's not. He's holy. He's righteous. How? Why? How can these things be? Blood. Jesus Christ. Who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. How did he die? Willingly. On purpose. For his people. That it might be fulfilled. The scripture might be fulfilled. You see that? Everything in scripture is going to be fulfilled. From him crossing a little brook. Why did he cross that brook? He had to. He had to. This is the son of David. Going to a place of mourning and they're going to come and apprehend him. From the crossing of that brook to being apprehended by this mob as a substitute for his people, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Of them which thou what? Are you looking at it? Of them which thou gavest me. Now, what was the first thing he said in his high priestly prayer? Thou hast given him all power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And he said, I've kept them. None is lost. Not one. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ came down here for you, if he came to be your sin bearer and your substitute, and he came and revealed himself to you as God, God, you're all in it all, it shall be well with you. You can't be lost. Do you see what good news this is? If you really believe, all your hope and all your salvation is in that man named Jesus. But no, he's not just a man. He's a God-man. If all your salvation is in that man, wrapped up, is it? Is that all your hope? Is it really? You can't be lost. You can't be lost. Ever. Ever. The soul that on Jesus Christ hath leaned for repose, he said, I'll never, no, never desert to its foe. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, he said. I want to keep going, but we got to stop. To Jesus Christ be all the praise and the glory. He's the I Am. And I am glad he is, aren't you? Okay, Brother John.